Today I want to talk about our recent work. Here? Okay. Today I want to talk about our recent work on towards statistic queries over distributed private user data. And this is a joint work with Alexey Reznichenko, Paul Francis, and Johannes Gehrig. So user privacy on the internet has become a major concern. Users' data is exposed to the organizations in a growing number of ways. So sometimes the exposure is known to users. For example, when a user makes a purchase on Amazon.com or a user updates his profile on Facebook, then this user knows that his information is being exposed. However, often, users don't know that their information is being exposed. For example, exposed to the third-party trackers, as we have already learned from the previous talk. And as another example, if a user is using the smartphone applications, then this user's information might already have been leaked to the application developers. So there is a growing sense that the loss of privacy on the internet has to be brought under control. So users must have the exclusive control over their own data, and users must be able to share the data selectively or voluntarily. So this principle, which was proposed before, is called user-owned and operated. So here, the personal data should be stored in a local host or cloud device under the user's control. So this principle indicates that the user's personal information or private information should not be maintained in a centralized database. Instead, each user should maintain his data locally. So such distributed private user data is quite important. For example, the service provider as an analyst could use such data to, for example, to understand the user's behaviors, to discover the statistic patterns, and to evaluate the proposed enhancements. So now there is a question. So how to make the statistic queries over such distributed private user data while still preserving users' privacy? So in this talk, I will first describe the related work. After that, I will describe how to design a system to understand distributed private user data. And finally, I will quickly conclude my talk. So in the literature, there have been a large number of approaches to support queries while still trying to preserve users' privacy, such as the randomization, the KL limit, L diversity, and so on. So after a lot of efforts in the last one decade or two, a new approach called differential privacy was proposed. So differential privacy is considered as one of the strongest privacy definitions so far. And differential privacy adds noise to the output of a computation. So in the scenario of the differential privacy, there is a database. There is the analyst. The analyst would like to issue a query to the database in order to understand the features of the database. There is a query module in between so that the analyst first issue a query to the query module. The query module will execute a query based on the database and get a result. To preserve the privacy, the query module will add some noise to the result and finally responds the noisy result back to the analyst. So the differential privacy hides the presence or absence of a user. So clearly, this preserves users' privacy. And also, differential privacy makes no assumptions about the adversary. So this makes differential privacy quite powerful because differential privacy is independent of the adversary's computational power and the adversary's auxiliary information. So the traditional differential privacy assumes that there is a centralized database, front-ended by a trusted query module. So this means that the traditional differential privacy can only be used in a centralized environment. However, in a distributed environment, there is the analyst, there are a bunch of users. Each user maintains his data locally, so there is no centralized database. So to query such distributed private user data, the most straightforward approach is to introduce the trusted query module in between. So here, once the user receives the query, the user will execute a query and send the true answer to the query module. To preserve the privacy, the query module will add some noise to users' true answers and finally responds the noisy result back to the analyst. So which means that in this design, the query module has to be fully trusted. Clearly, this is not realistic in the real world. So if we don't assume such a fully trusted query module, then the question comes to how to design a system to query such distributed private user data while still preserving users' privacy. So some kind of distributed differential privacy is needed. So we have to redesign the traditional differential privacy to make it work in a distributed setting. So actually, we are not the first to look at the distributed differential privacy. To our knowledge, there are four previous designs, but none of them are practical in the real distributed setting. The first design doesn't require the trusted query module, and the first design assumes the communications between the analyst and all the users, as well as among the users themselves. So the first design doesn't scale well. And to solve the scaling problems, the following designs remove the communications among the users. However, the following designs cannot tolerate churn. And also, there is another problem that most of the previous designs suffer from the same problem, so that even a single malicious user can substantially distort the query result. So to solve this problem, so the users have to be trusted. So clearly, this is also not realistic in the real world. So in a short summary, all the previous designs are impractical in the real distributed setting. So next, I will describe how to design a practical system to achieve the distributed differential privacy. So in this paper, we proposed PDDP system, which is the first practical distributed differentially private system that can operate at large scale, that can tolerate churn, and that can put tight bounds on the extent to which a malicious user can distort the query result. So in our system, there are three system components. There is the analyst. The analyst will issue the query to the system and collects answers. There are a bunch of clients. Each client maintains its data locally and answers queries. There is a proxy in between. The proxy will add the differentially private noise to preserve users' privacy. So in our system, the analyst is assumed to be potentially malicious with the goal of violating users' privacy. All the clients in our system are user devices, including home devices and mobile devices. So this indicates that the clients in our system may have the churn characteristics. And the clients in our system are assumed to be potentially malicious with the goal of distorting the final result. The proxy in between is assumed to be honest but curious, so it's not fully trusted. And the honest here means that the proxy will faithfully follow the specified protocol, and the curious means that the proxy is still trying to exploit additional information that can be learned in doing so. So now let's look at some key insights in our design. So first, let's look at how to limit the query result distortion. So our solution is to make sure that a client cannot arbitrarily manipulate answers. To achieve this, we split answers' value range into multiple buckets. I will give example in the next slide. And then we enforce a binary answer in each bucket. So this kind of binary answer enforcement can be done in several different ways. One approach is to use the zero knowledge proofs. However, as we know that, the zero knowledge proofs are usually quite expensive. So as an alternative, we can use the BitCrypto system. The BitCrypto system is usually quite efficient, and the BitCrypto system has a very good feature that it can only encrypt two possible values, one or zero. So this is perfectly fit in our scenario. So here is an example. For example, the analyst would like to understand the age distribution among the users. Then the query should be something like, how old are you? The answers to this query will be provided, for example, in four buckets. The first bucket is from age 0 to age 12. The second bucket from age 13 to 20, and so on and so forth. The answers will be in the form of a 1 or 0 per bucket. For example, if I'm 30 years old, I may set 1 to the third bucket. This is because 30 falls within the value range of the third bucket. So the answer in each bucket will be encrypted by using the BitCrypto system. So this enforces a binary answer in each bucket, so that even malicious users cannot substantially distort the query results. This is because even malicious users have to set 1 or 0 per bucket. Second, let's look at how to achieve the differential privacy. So to achieve the differential privacy, we have to add the differentially private noise to the query result. So previous designs let each individual user add the differentially private noise to his answer locally. But as we know that a malicious user could always choose not to add noise or add illegitimate noise. So in our system, we take another approach. We let the honest but curious proxy in between to add the required amount of differentially private noise. Because we split the answer's value range into multiple buckets, then we enforce a binary answer in each bucket. So to add the noise, the proxy can generate some additional binary answers in each bucket as the differentially private noise. So because the proxy is curious, so what happens if the analyst publishes the final noisy result? Because the proxy knows how much noise he added, so the proxy can subtract the noise he added from the final noisy result to get the noisy-free result. So definitely, this violates users' privacy. So in our system, the proxy can only blindly add the noise. So the blindly here means that the proxy only knows that the noise he added is enough to achieve differential privacy, but the proxy doesn't know how much noise he added exactly. So this is an interesting feature of our system. So now let's look at our system workflow. So there are 5 steps in our system. The first step is that the analyst would like to query a certain number of clients. So the analyst will first issue a query to the proxy. There are 4 items in this message. So I gave example here. For example, the analyst would like to know the age distribution among the males. Then the first item is the actual query, which is a SQL program. So in this example, the query should be something like select age from the local database, where gender is male. And the answers to this query will be provided, for example, in this example, in 4 buckets, like this. And in this example, the analyst also specifies that he would like to query 1,000 clients with the differential privacy parameter epsilon equal to 1.0. So once the proxy receives the query, the proxy will select the required number of clients and then send the query to those selected clients. Once the clients receive the query, the client will execute a query and send the encrypted answer to the proxy. So more specifically, the client will execute a query over its local data and produce an answer. So the answer will be in the form of 1 or 0 per bucket, depending on whether the answer falls within the value range of that bucket. Depending on the query, more than 1 bucket may contain a 1. So in our system, the per bucket answer value should be individually encrypted with the analyst public key. So now let's look at one of the interesting parts of our system. So to encrypt the per bucket answer value, we are using the Goldwasser-Mikali crypto system. The Goldwasser-Mikali crypto system, or we call it GM crypto system, has several significant advantages in our design. The first advantage is that it is a single bit crypto system, so it can only encrypt 1 or 0. So this enforces a binary answer in each bucket. This also prevents the malicious client from substantially distorting the final result. The second advantage is that the GM crypto system is quite efficient. Based on our evaluation, the GM crypto system is usually orders of magnitude faster than other public key crypto systems. And the GM crypto system has another very good feature, which we will be using later, is that the GM crypto system is exclusive or homomorphic. So this means that given the encryptions of 2 values, A and B. One can compute the encryption of A exclusive OR with B even without knowing the actual values of A and B. So we will use this feature later. So once the proxy receives the encrypted answers, the proxy will add some differentially private noise blandly. So this, so more specifically, the proxy will add the differentially private noise to each bucket. So this is done by generating some additional binary answers as the differentially private noise. We call those additional answers as coins. In our system, the coins must be unbiased, which means that the coins must be uniformly distributed. And also the coins must be encrypted with the analyst public key so that the coins are indistinguishable from client answers, because both coins and client answers are encrypted with the analyst public key. Enough coins have to be added to achieve the differential privacy. In our paper, we have shown that by adding this number of coins to each bucket, we can achieve the required differential privacy. So now the question comes to how to generate the unbiased coins blandly. So there are several straightforward approaches to generate the coins. The most straightforward approach is to let the proxy generate coins. But as I described before, a curious proxy could know the noisy free result if the analyst publishes the final noisy result. As an alternative, the clients can generate coins. But the coins that we need should be unbiased. But malicious clients could always choose to generate biased coins. So in our system, we take another approach. We let the proxy and the clients collaboratively generate coins. So in our design, each online client will periodically generate an encrypted unbiased coin. But of course, a malicious client could still choose to generate biased coin. So to defend against this, in our design, the proxy will blandly reflip the coin generated by the client. So this is done by first generating an unbiased coin locally at the proxy. The proxy will multiply the client-generated coin with the proxy-generated coin. Then the final product is the unbiased coin. This kind of blind coin reflipping is possible. This is because all the coins in our system are encrypted by using the GM crypto system. As I described, GM crypto system has a very good feature that it is exclusive or homomorphic. So let's look at this equation in our in the GM crypto system. The client generated coin is possibly biased, but the proxy generated coin is unbiased. So which means that the client generated coin exclusive OR with the proxy generated coin is always unbiased. So this guarantees that the final product is always an encrypted unbiased coin. So note that now, even the proxy doesn't know the actual value of the final generated unbiased coin. This is because the proxy doesn't know the actual value of the client generated coin. So now even the curious proxy cannot know the noisy free result, even if the analyst publishes the final noisy result. This is because the proxy doesn't know how much noise he added exactly, but the proxy only knows that the noise he added is enough to achieve the differential privacy. So this is a nice feature of our system. So after the noise addition, in each bucket, there are many client answers as well as some coins serving as the noise. So the proxy will shuffle the noise answers in each bucket and then send all the encrypted noise answers to the analyst. So the analyst can decrypt all the noisy answers and get the final noisy result. So in the end, the analyst obtains the noise answer for how many clients fall within each bucket. So next, let's look at the implementation, deployment, and parts of the evaluation results. So we have implemented the fully functional system. And the client side is the Firefox add-on. It captures a user's all online activities. And all the information is stored in a local SQLite database. And the proxy side is a web service running on top of Tomcat. And the analyst side is just a simple Java program. And we have deployed our system over more than 600 real clients. So first, let's look at the performance of our system. So a major performance concern is the overhead of the crypto operations. So we first tested the performance at the client side. So here is a result. In particular, we tested the performance in three different environments, in Firefox, in Chrome, and on our smartphone. So we can say that our PDDP client is quite efficient. Even on the smartphone, our PDDP client can perform more than 800 encryptions per second. We also tested the performance at the proxy and analyst side. The result is similar. Our PDDP system is quite efficient at the proxy and analyst side. So here I gave a concrete example. Let's imagine there is a query which will be sent to 1 million clients with 10 buckets and epsilon equal to 1.0. Then the computation needed at the proxy and analyst side is less than 30 CPU minutes. And in this example, we also analyzed the bandwidth and the storage overhead. So that the result is that the bandwidth and the storage overhead at the proxy and the analyst side is only about 1.2 gigabytes. So this is well within the capacity of current hardware. Because we have deployed our system over more than 600 real clients, so we issued 5 queries towards our client deployment. So based on those 5 toy queries, we get some meaningful results. Like there were many low activity clients, and many clients visited just a few websites. And also we get some other results like most browsing actions happened on a user's top 3 favorite websites, and the search engine is often used, and so on and so forth. There are more results in our paper. So finally, the conclusion. So the main takeaway is that our PDDP system is the first practical distributed differentially private system that can scale well, that tolerates churn, and that put tight bounds on malicious users' capability. So our system is built based on 2 key insights. The first insight is that we split the answer's value range into multiple buckets. Then we enforce a binary answer in each bucket. The second key insight is that we introduce a proxy in between, and the proxy can only blindly add the noise. Yeah, so this is the end of my talk, and I will be quite happy to answer any questions.
David Orancisco, who gets to choose the number of buckets and their boundaries? And is the choice of the bucket size and the boundaries a factor in privacy? In other words, could I, in your age example, could I choose a bucket of size 1 and have 100 buckets?
Yes, this is the last question. So actually, the analyst can choose whatever he wants. And the thing is that if there is just 1 bucket, then the result might be meaningless. But if there are too many buckets, so we have to add noise to each bucket, then the final aggregate result might be too noisy. So there might be a trade-off. So we should not choose too many buckets, but also we should not choose too few buckets. Yeah, so depending on the scenario, the analyst may choose whatever he wants.
Jay Lorch, Microsoft Research. So I'm trying to think of how you would find an honest but curious proxy, and I think, well, you'd find a corporation, or you'd find an organization that was trusted, or you'd use trusted computing. But it seems at that point it's not much more effort to find one that is completely honest and not curious. So what do you imagine is the way you find an honest but curious
proxy? This is also a nice question. So I can imagine that there might be some privacy advocates or the non-profit third-party organizations who can serve as the honest but curious proxy. And also in reality, I think this happens a lot because I can imagine that there are many companies in the real world ask the independent audits of their financial books. So I guess this also happens in the real world. So we imagine that this kind of honest but curious setting is reasonable in our in most of the scenarios. And also in our paper, actually, we discuss if the proxy is malicious, then what we can do. Actually, we proposed a TPM-based system to handle the malicious proxy, but I didn't get a chance to talk it. So, but all the details are in our paper.
Hi, Mike Friedman, Princeton. I guess I have a related kind of two-part question. Usually you pick Honest But Curious because you either don't know how to be robust against a malicious adversary, it's too expensive. I was wondering if that was the case here. And the second part is, in a lot of secure multi-party computation protocols, you could actually separate robustness to correctness and robustness to privacy for a malicious party. Typically, correctness is actually much harder. I was wondering if you've considered that and if you could also be at least robust against malicious attacks against privacy.
So that's a nice question. So what we guarantee is that we can achieve the distributed differential privacy if we have the honest but curious proxy. And
so the hard thing is the malicious is that, I mean, usually you need those zero knowledge protocols to do often commitments against certain inputs to show that they have certain, you know, that he's not actually giving you the wrong answer. When if all you care about privacy, you know, if you use, for example, GM Secure is a probabilistic crypto system that's semantically secure, so it itself is robust against malicious attacks.
Yeah, so in our paper, actually we did some analysis, for example, to show that how to defend against the covert channels and how to defend against some other privacy attacks. And so the magic is that we are using the GM crypto system. That's a key point of our system. So we don't need the zero knowledge proofs because we can already use the GM crypto system to encrypt the binary answers in each bucket. And so does this answer your question?
Maybe we could talk more offline. Okay,
yeah,
thanks.
Maybe I can take it offline.
Hi, Matt Ari, Princeton University. So my question is, when you're bucketing answers, you're already de facto adding noise to your answer because the answer is not exact anymore. So can you decrease the amount of differential privacy noise you need to add at the proxy depending on your bucketing scheme?
I cannot hear correctly. Can you repeat again?
Yeah, so by bucketing answers, you are, in effect, adding noise to the exact answer. So can you decrease the amount of differential privacy noise you add depending on how you are bucketing?
Not really. Actually, the differential privacy has a very nice feature that the amount of differentially private noise that we need to add is independent of how many clients in the whole system, and it's also independent of the bucket setting. So I don't think the noise that we add is related to the number of buckets or the size of the buckets.
Okay, thank you.
Make it quick. Ooh. All right. So I'm having trouble thinking about places where I would apply differential privacy productively. I'll give you some examples. User query logs, right? You might imagine that I only want aggregates over that, and it would be tolerable to add noise. But if I want to add personalized search recommendations as a feature, I need to expose that to a substantial fraction of machine learning researchers who are going to work on how to implement that. When I call up the, say, utility company, I got to do this recently because I moved, I had to actually have somebody who could look at my account and make choices based on that and talk to me about it. So I wouldn't have wanted them to only be able to ask statistical queries over my private user data. The most recent large-scale data exposure incident that I'm familiar with was actually a credit card payment processor who exposed all of the credit card data when their database got compromised. They wouldn't have been able to accomplish their business simply by only allowing statistical queries over those credit cards. So I was wondering if you could talk a little bit about what is a data set over which it would be good to only expose, to, at least to a substantial fraction of the people accessing that data, statistical queries.
So actually, we keep all the private data at the client side, so no matter, so I guess depending on the application scenarios, so the service providers or the application developers can choose what kind of data he would like to store or what kind of data he would like to process. But the key point is that we don't want leak the private information from the client side. We want to keep all the private information at the client side and also controlled by the client, by the user himself. So our system is only to make sure that the service provider can still make the statistic queries towards those distributed private user data and to get the meaningful results. I guess our system can be extended to the scenario that you just described. So it's kind of, yeah.
Thank you.
Thanks, Rachwan.